السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We will commence our program for tonight with the Naat Sharif. As I have mentioned many times, that Naat Sharif in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also an ibadat. Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala and many other poets in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to glorify and praise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in poetry. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, they used to criticize Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to condemn him, they used to call him all kinds of names in poetry. So response to that, the sahaba ikram used to reply in poetry also. So it is an ibadat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to put Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu anhu on the minbar and then tell him to recite. So we should not worry too much about the voice, because it's not a qawwali. There's no need to practice. Whereas Naat Sharif is not just for listening to melodious voice. Naat Sharif is to create the fire, to create, to develop, to nurture the fire of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, and to make it tiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا
ایسے تمنا ہے کہ گلزار مدینہ اب وطن ہوتا وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا. I wish the city of Madina Sharif, which is nothing but a city of gardens, that I had also one small garden in that city of gardens. In other words, it would have been my place of residence. I would have been a resident of Madina Sharif. I wouldn't have required visas and other formalities had to fulfill before reaching Madina Sharif.
Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گور و کفن ہوتا وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گور و کفن ہوتا تمنا ہے کہ گلزار مدینہ اب وطن ہوتا.
I wish I could have spent the rest of my life in Madina Sharif. I would have lived there in Madina Sharif, died there in Madina Sharif, and my kafan and janaza and salat would have been in Madina Sharif.
Basar ab zindagi apni diyare Quds mein hoti, wahi jeeta, wahi marta, وہیں گور و کفن ہوتا وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گور و کفن ہوتا تمنّا ہے کہ گلزار مدینہ اب وطن ہوتا. میسر بالوں پر ہوتے تو میں اڑ کر پہنچ جاتا, میسر بالوں پر ہوتے تو میں اڑ کر پہنچ جاتا. در قسمت کے اپنا آشیاں ان کا چمن ہوتا.
Oh Allah, if only I had wings, I too would have flown away to Medina Sharif.
نمازوں میں انہی کے در پہ میں کرتا جب سائی, نمازوں میں انہی کے در پہ میں کرتا جب سائی, تلاوت کا ترنم اور جنت کا چمن ہوتا, تلاوت کا ترنم اور جنت کا چمن ہوتا.
The meaning of which is that if I had this opportunity, I would be making my salat in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, and besides enjoying the recitation of the Quran Sharif there, I would have had the gardens of Jannat there, because Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam has said, ma baina baiti wa mimbari rawzatun min riyazil jannah, between my home and my mimbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Therefore recently also I mentioned to my friends that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he gives you the opportunity, and he has given you the opportunity now to enter into these gardens of Jannat, riyazul jannah, and it is stated in the hadith sharif that on the Qiyamah day, that same section will be transferred into the gardens of Jannat. It will be raised and put into the gardens of Jannat. So the person who has got the opportunity of entering into that garden of Jannat, then he must make dua there, that, oh Allah, you gave me the opportunity of entering into this garden of Jannat without my deserving. Where was I deserving to enter this garden? That area where my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the deputations, that area where he received Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam bringing wahi to him, that area where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made his i'tikaf, that place where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the salat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on whom the Quran Sharif was revealed, he was the imam of that masjid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many salats he made there, how much of zikr and tilawat he made there, how much of waaz and nasihat he made in that section. His mimbar is there. So Allah, you have given us this opportunity of entering into this garden of Jannat. So now give us the akhlaq of the people of Jannat. The people of Jannat, what kind of akhlaq will they have? Will they be hurting? Will they be stealing? Will they be committing fraud? Will they be swearing, cursing? Will their hearts be filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with dirt, with filth? What kind of people will be in Jannat? So when we enter this garden of Jannat in this world, we must make dua, Ya Allah, give us the akhlaq of the people of Jannat. And then of course you pray for all the other things too. And that just as you entered me into this garden of Jannat without any reckoning, without my deserving, enter me into the gardens of Jannat in Akhirat also without my deserving.
Tamanna hai ke gulzar madina ab watan hota, wahan ke gulshanon mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. Muqaddar se rasai unke dar tak kaash ho jati, مقدر سے رسائی ان کے در تک کاش ہو جاتی، متائے جان نثارِ روضِ شاہِ زمن ہوتا، سبھی کچھ ہے مگر جب وہ نہیں کچھ بھی نہیں حاصل، سبھی کچھ ہے مگر جب وہ نہیں کچھ بھی نہیں حاصل.
If you don't have Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then what is life? You can have everything, but if you don't have Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in your life, if Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not in our life, then we've got nothing. No matter how much we may have of the worldly things, but it's nothing. If we have Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam on our side, if they are with us, they are in our life, we've got love and muhabbat for them, itaat and obedience of them, then we have got everything. It's a lengthy one, but I'll just read to you the last.
یہی ہے آرزو ثاقب، یہی اپنی تمنا ہے، یہی ہے آرزو ثاقب، یہی اپنی تمنا ہے کہ پیوندے بقیے پاک اپنا بھی بدن ہوتا، یہی ہے آرزو ثاقب، یہی اپنی تمنا ہے کہ پیوندے بقیے پاک اپنا بھی بدن ہوتا.
This is my only desire, this is my only arzu, this is my only wish. People have different kinds of desires, different kinds of wishes, and different kinds of aspirations. And there's nothing wrong in this world we are living. If a person is desirous that he wants to become a doctor, he wants to become a scientist, he wants to become a technician, whatever he wants to become, there's nothing wrong with that. He wants to become Mufti, Maulvi, Qari. So different wishes are all permissible if it is in accordance with Sharia. But what should be the last wish of the person? The main wish and desire of the person. So he says, my main wish, my main desire, or the desire of my heart, is that I become a patch of the graveyard of Medina Sharif. Our body must become a patch of that graveyard, because when the Noor and the Rahmat, and the winds of Rahmat blow there, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has said, I will make shafaat for the people of Jannatul Baqi. He used to visit it himself. There are 10,000 companions of his buried there. And so much of virtues. On the day of Qiyamah, he says, I will rise. After me will be Hazrat Abu Bakr, then Umar radiallahu anh, then accompanied by 70,000 angels, we will go to Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Medina Sharif. All of them will rise from there. Thereafter we'll go halfway between Makkah and Medina Sharif and wait for the people of Jannatul Mala. What good fortune they enjoy. So if we don't have anything else, at least desire that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us death in Medina Tayyibah. But our desire must be genuine. I've mentioned many times that our desire must be genuine. Because on one occasion, one brother, I won't mention that brother's name and from where he is, but he used to always say, Mawlana, in your du'as I keep listening, Ya Allah, bless me with mouth in Medina Tayyibah. So that's my desire also. I wish Allah Ta'ala gives me death in Medina Tayyibah. So one year we happened to be together there in Medina Tayyibah. So I said, now let us both make du'a that, Ya Allah, this trip of ours that you have brought us here, give us death here in Medina Tayyibah and let us be buried in Jannatul Baqi. So he says, Mawlana, not this year. So not this year, Mawlana. There's still a lot of things to complete back home. The next time, inshallah. But don't make dua this year. Now what kind of mohabbat is that? The person says, not this year, next year we'll see. And the next year will come, we'll say, the next year we'll see, not this year. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Ulama-i-Kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers. With Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal, ihsan, karam, his kindness, last week on a Thursday night, about this time, we were standing at the Rauza Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and reciting As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya shafi'al muznibin. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got angels. These angels, they roam about the earth. Inna lillahi malaikatan sayyahin fil ard. And what is the duty of these angels? The duty of these angels is to convey the salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says that when they come and give convey the salam at my Rauza Mubarak, then I listen to it personally and I respond to it. I give them a reply personally. I mentioned this in my talks that we have here on Thursday nights and Monday nights, that sometimes this doubt arises that so many millions of people sending salat, salam, and how can Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam be replying to everyone? So first of all, I explained to them that we must be convinced, we must be certain that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said is the truth and nothing but the truth. That there are angels that are carrying this salat and salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we are saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is being conveyed. The speed with which it is conveyed, we can just understand that it is not like the telecom speed or the MTN speed or any other speed. This is the fastest and the speediest means of communication which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has arranged for His servants. In the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there will be millions of people who cannot afford the trip to Madina Sharif and go and read Salat and Salam at the Rauza Mubarak. So look at the love Allah Ta'ala has got for His servants and for the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that He made this arrangement. That millions of angels, wherever you recite, they carry it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and convey it to Him. Now how does He respond to everyone? Well, in this age, and in this time of technology, there is no need to really doubt because we have the computer chips and millions of telephone calls can be recorded at the same time. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can give man that kind of technology, then cannot He have that kind of technology Himself? Who is it that gave Him gave man that aql to make that chip? So Allah ta'ala gave man that chip, and with that chip He made a chip. So what about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala Himself? So why do we doubt these things, that how He responds and how does He reply? But indeed He does. And many, many incidents are recorded very, very authentically of people even listening to the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his grave. Because he is not lying there like a dead body. Allah ta'ala restored his life immediately. And there are so many things that are happening from the Rauza Mubarak. It is full of noor. There's nothing there but noor. You must excuse me if tonight I'm not sticking to any subject because I'm not feeling well. I'm feeling very, very tired today and I don't like to pretend about anything. If I'm tired, I'll tell you I'm tired. Because for the past 21 days I've been giving talks and bayans and programs, and as soon as I return it's again madrasa and everything else. So I'm a bypass patient, so you can understand. Nevertheless, when I speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the enjoyment that I get, the sweetness that I get, the strength that I get, I can't explain to you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Rauza Mubarak is filled with nothing but noor, with light, plenty of noor. Imagine the light of the millions of angels that are bringing salat and salam from around the world to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, from around the world. As we are reciting here, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's gone to Madina Sharif. Now millions of people around the world, every day they are reciting durood and salam upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine all the noor of those angels, the noor of that durood sharif that they are bringing, the noor of that salam that they are bringing, the noor of that green dome, the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's masjid, the noor of Riyazul Jannah, the garden of Jannat, the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mimbar, the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's places that he walked, where he sat, where he talked, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the deputations, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made his salat, the noor of all that in his masjid. And then the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. Everything got its noor because of the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now after there being so much of noor there, if we cannot bring back some noor from there, then there's something seriously wrong. Our hearts are diseased. Physically it can be disease, at the most it will lead to death. But there's a spiritual disease, there's nifaq, there's hypocrisy, as a result of which we can't seem to be filling our hearts with the noor that is there. There's so much of noor and tajalli there. I give my friends an example. Lots of new people here haven't heard the example, that when you are entering that section from the back of the masjid, and the tiles, when you look, the tiles are shining. So what do you see in those tiles? You see a reflection of all those lights in the tiles. The lights and the chandeliers and everything that's there, which is glittering, then you see the reflection of that in the tiles, as if that light has gone into the tile. Why? Because the tile is shining, polished. So I tell my friends that these tiles, what are they? They are stones. But when they are polished and shined, then you see the reflection of those lights inside. So in the same way, if we have to polish our hearts, we have to shine our hearts, we have to remove from our hearts that greed, that arrogance, that pride, that jealousy and malice and all the evil passions and desires which we take with, if we have to remove all that, then that noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's masjid, that noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, and all that light that is there, that noor that is there, then that reflection will go inside our hearts. But if you are going to come with dirty, filthy hearts with no intention of reformation and change, then it will all remain outside. It will be like going to Niagara Falls or Victoria Falls with your bucket and with your pail, and then coming back empty. And if somebody asks that, why did you come back empty, you say there's no water filled in inside. He said, but everybody else's buckets got filled within seconds, and yours no water filled in. So how did you have your bucket? He says, upside down. He says, how do you expect water to fill in inside there? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the khulasa of kainat. He is our qibla of our lives. The qibla of our namaz is Kaabatullah Sharif. When we start making our salat, we say facing the qibla, Allahu Akbar. But in our lives, our qibla is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We face in his direction our lives. How did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam eat? How did he drink? How did he conduct his business? How did he marry? How did he conduct his walima? How did he upbring his children? How did he act as a general in the army? How did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lead the prayers? How did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conduct each and every aspect of his life? Now that is our qibla, that we have to look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That in which direction did he move? If we have to look at the masjid zu qiblatain, the masjid of two qiblas in Madina Sharif, every haji and every person going for umrah, he goes for ziyarat of the masjid of two qiblas. Now what happened there? It was Zuhr Salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was leading the prayers. And in his heart that thought came, that I wish Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changes the qibla from Baytul Maqdis to Kaabatullah Sharif. Because when he came to Madina Sharif for about 16 months, he was making namaz facing Jerusalem. So now it was his desire that it should be changed towards the Kaabatullah Sharif. So in the Salat, he raised his head up, which is not permissible for us to do in our Salat. In our Salat, it's not permissible to look up. But here it was a different thing altogether, because as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam immediately came down with the verses. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Immediately now the law came that now you must face Kaabatullah Sharif and make namaz. Allah Ta'ala liked every desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to be fulfilled. So in the namaz he changed his qibla. From one direction he went to another direction. Not one sahabi in the namaz said, Ya Rasulullah, you're taking a walk in salat. What is wrong? We're making salat in this direction, now suddenly you're going in another direction. They also turned with him in the masjid. In the salat, they turned around. And not one of them doubted that this was a decision of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is always wahi that comes to him, and it was made on the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in the salat now, if he is turning, we must also turn. Not one doubted, because they had made him the qibla of the life, that in whichever direction he will face, we will face. If he says face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif, we will face in that direction. So that is the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to understand and make our aqidah right, that the 12th of Rabiul Awwal being a significant day was the day on which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born. Not this 12th of Rabiul Awwal. People sometimes think that this 12th of Rabiul Awwal is that significant day. Whereas there is a difference of opinion, and any alim who has done Hadith Sharif will tell you, any alim, that there's a difference of opinion with regards to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam day of birth, whether it's the 8th of Rabiul Awwal, 9th of Rabiul Awwal, or 12th of Rabiul Awwal. But there seems to be a consensus that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away on the 12th. Now if he passed away on the 12th, and if for argument's sake he was born on the 12th, now does it become a day of celebration? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the day he passed away, there was such sadness, such sadness. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha said that if this sadness was given to the sun, it would have turned it into dark night. That much sadness and sorrow came on my heart. The sahabas, they are in grief, they are in sorrow, they just don't know what to do. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha is taking his sword, and anyone says Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, I'll take his neck off. That kind of sorrow came upon them. Imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was their guide, who was their light, who was their noor, everything. Now suddenly he is taken away from them. So that day on which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born was a very significant day, because on that day so many things happened, so much miraculous events took place. There's no time to go into detail, and I don't have any intention of going into detail. But so many miraculous incidents took place on that day. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was amongst his companions. After receiving the nubuwwat at the age of 40, he was informed of his nubuwwat. Otherwise he was a Nabi when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was still clay. At that time he was already a Nabi. But the information was now given to him when he was 40 years of age in the cave of Hira. And that cave is still the same as was 1400 years ago, or more than that. Same. The government of Saudi Arabia could have touched many, many other areas. They have cut roads and made tunnels and planted trees and gardens and irrigation schemes are there, and everything is there, and buildings upon buildings. But look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat, that cave of Hira where the first verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed, Allah ta'ala kept it at such a height on that mountain that up till now that hasn't been touched. If a person goes there, he can be certain, he can swear, he can take qasam that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in this cave. So these sahabas, they had made Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the qibla of their lives. So he was amongst his companions for so many years. We must learn, we must have a balance, we must not remain ignorant all our lives. That from the time of 40 years, he received his nubuwwat, then he was amongst his companions till the age of 53 in Makkah Sharif. So that's 13 years.
And then another 10 years in Madina Sharif. Now pick up Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, Nasai Sharif, Ibn Majah Sharif, the 6 authentic books of hadith, pick it up and read. Not one hadith will we get with regards to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's birthday celebration. Yet every year, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have told his sahabas, I was born on this day, let us celebrate. So then what were they celebrating then? They were celebrating the practices of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. All his actions, his life's teachings, that is what was the celebration of the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That every sahabi was celebrating the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam by practicing upon the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the celebration. Otherwise it means that it is just lip service celebration. In Surah Wadduha, now my mind went on to Surah Wadduha, and that is the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And I will discuss that briefly and I will conclude for tonight. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I discussed this in my some Jummah bayans, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was receiving the wahi. And then for some time, the wahi stopped coming. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala held back the revelation for some time. Now this caused great grief and pain to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala had great hikmat and wisdom in holding it back for some time. But the kuffar, the mushrikeen, they now had an opportunity of criticizing, of mocking, of teasing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They began to tell him that, your Allah has forsaken you. قَدْ وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Allah has forsaken you. He has forgotten you. He has left you out now. As we see, he has cut you out from his friendship. So he has left you out. On one occasion, Umm Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, she was going past. And she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in sorrow. So she said, so your shaitan has stopped bringing wahi to you. Your shaitan has stopped bringing wahi to you, na'uzu billah. Your shaitan has become displeased with you. Now that was the height. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have tolerated everything. All kinds of criticism, mockery, ridicule. Everything he could have tolerated. But when he was told that your Rabb has become displeased with you, although she called it shaitan, na'uzu billah, but it means that Allah has become displeased with you. That is why he is holding back the wahi. So that caused great grief to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So at that time, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down with the verses, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Just to give the gist, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes qasam in the name of the glorious morning light. Duha is that time when the sun is shining brightly and everything is lit up. Fully lit up. At about 10 o'clock, if it's a nice, clear, bright day, everything is lit up. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes a qasam. For us, it's not permissible to take qasam on anything besides the name of Allah ta'ala. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can take qasam on anything because there's nothing great for him. But here there's wisdom why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes qasam by the glorious morning light. And by the night which is still and dark. So by the darkness of the night and by the glorious morning light. To convey the message to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that your Allah is not displeased with you. There's great wisdom in holding back the wahi and the revelation. Just as there is great wisdom in having both day and night. The day is there so that you make tabligh and you give da'wah towards Islam and towards deen. And you need night also for some rest. In the same way, the day is required to go about your work and activities in the brightness of the sun. If it was dark all the time, what great difficulty there would have been. So there's a need for day. But at the same time, there is a need for the night also. The night also has got great benefits. Great benefits. And I always say that it has got great benefits even for the thieves and the burglars. Great benefit for them too. Most of them wait. Although in South Africa now they don't wait for night anymore. There are more daylight robberies than night robberies. So there's great amount of benefit in the day and great amount of benefit in the night. And just as the day will surely follow the night, in the same way, the revelation which has been held back for some time, it will commence again. You don't have to feel that your Rabb has forsaken you, or he has deserted you, or he has forgotten you, or he has become displeased with you. I've mentioned many times that the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the people who have got a taluk with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are unconcerned if the world turns against them. The whole world can swear them, curse them, criticize them, mock and ridicule them, and call them all kinds of names, and give them all kinds of titles. They are unconcerned. Why should they be concerned? If Allah ta'ala is with them, then why must they be concerned? We don't have to look at the majority of the people. The majority of the people, irrespective of which direction they go, if we have one Allah with us, we've got one Rasul with us, we've got one Kaaba Sharif with us, we've got one Quran with us, then even if it's one, but you've got the whole world with you, and everything that it contains with you. And just recently I said that if you have to go to the Kruger National Park, there are two teams there. One is the lions and one is the springbok in the Kruger National Park. But the lions are in the minority and the springboks are in the majority. Plenty of springboks there. But we haven't heard the springboks threatening the lions. In rugby they can threaten them. But there in the Kruger Park there's no such thing as threatening the lions. That we are in the majority. So what can you do to us? One roar of a lion and 100,000 bucks also will run. And they will disappear too from them. So they are only concerned about the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala must not become displeased with us. Laka e musibat to parwa nahi. Laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi. Laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Oh my Allah, if the whole world changes, if the whole world turns around, no matter how much of suffering, difficulty, hardship came upon them, but they said that, oh Allah, we are unconcerned about all that. But if you have to turn your glance of rahmat and mercy away from us, then it will be disaster for us. Then it will be complete disaster. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was something that he could not take and tolerate or bear, that anger of Allah Ta'ala or displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is giving him assurance that there is no such thing as displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Ma wadda'aka rabbuk wa ma qala. Neither he has forsaken you, and nor has he forgotten you, nor is he displeased with you. He hasn't cut you off. He hasn't distanced himself from you. He is ever pleased with you and he will remain ever pleased with you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. I'm not going into details. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. In other words, everything that is succeeding is better than that which it has preceded. It was better for you to come into the stomach of your mother than to remain in the alam-e-arwah. It was better for you to come into this world than to remain in the stomach of your mother. Your childhood days were better than the days of your infancy. The days of your youth were better than the days of your childhood. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The days of your old age were better than the days of your youth. The days when you started receiving the wahi were better than the days when you did not receive the wahi. The days when you were in Makkah Sharif were better than the days when you were in Taif. When you were in Taif, it was better than the days that you were in Makkah Sharif. Although you were stoned there. But what happened after that? And then when you made the hijrat to Madina Sharif, that was better for you than staying in Makkah Sharif. And your hereafter will be better for you than this world. And so many other things. Everything that was succeeding was better than that which was preceding. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving him assurance that you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be hurt by what these people say. Let them say what they say. Your Allah is pleased with you. Your Allah is happy with you. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you so much that you will become pleased. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that people say that in the Quran Sharif, an ayat on which we have got great hope is قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to the people who have done injustice to their souls that don't lose hope and don't despair of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَخْفِرُ الزُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins, provided of course the person sincerely repents and fulfills the conditions of tawbah. He says, but to me, the ayat which gives us greatest hope is, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطُيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah Ta'ala will give you, O Rasul, so much that you will get pleased. In other words, he will never be pleased until each and every ummati of his is forgiven and put into Jannat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is telling him that I will give you. And again the word yu'tika is used muzare. That means I am giving you now and I will continue to give you in future. And so much I will give you that you will become truly pleased. Why must you worry? So much I will give you that you will become truly pleased. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was concerned about the pleasure and the happiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he was asked a question that why are you doing this, he will say, I'm doing it for the pleasure and happiness of Allah ta'ala. But here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that I will give you so much that you will become pleased, that your happiness is my happiness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that your happiness is my happiness. How much Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much? All the ilm and knowledge that was given to all the Nabis of the past and all the angels and every human being in the world that will come till the day of Qiyamah, whatever knowledge was given to them of Deen and Sharia, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam so much that if you have to compare, then the knowledge of everyone else is like a drop from the ocean. That much he gave. If you have to look at the mu'jizats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the miracles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much of mu'jizat, all the mu'jizats and miracles of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the other prophets of the past, if you have to put them one side, and the mu'jizats and miracles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mu'jizats, they excel. They exceed all limits. One mu'jiza contains so many other mu'jizats. Just one mu'jiza. And the greatest mu'jiza is the Quran Sharif. Nobody can match it. And it will remain till the day of Qiyamah as evidence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's prophethood. But if you have to take the hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it's a mu'jiza. You have to take the speech of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mu'jiza. The saliva of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mu'jiza. The eyes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many miracles? If we have to discuss that, then we require hours and hours. And I have discussed that some time back. But just take only the hand. Now this one hand. Now the pebbles that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took in his hands, the pebbles started glorifying Allah Ta'ala, reading tasbih, pebbles. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put it into Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's hand, it continued with the tasbih. He put it into Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's hand, it continued with the tasbih. He put it into Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu's hand, it continued with the tasbih. Into Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's hand, it continued with the tasbih. Then when he gave it to the other sahabas, it stopped reading. Now what was it doing? Stones and pebbles in the hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reading tasbih. as if the palm of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a small masjid, even for the pebbles. This hand was like a small masjid, a small jamaat khana, musalla for the pebbles, a place to make tasbih, to read, to find some kind of solace and comfort for the stones. Now if the stones found comfort in his hand, imagine human beings, what that hand was for them. Nevertheless, so that it was as if that was a small kind of masjid for them. Then that same hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took some stones, and in one of the battles he threw them. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the army flee, and there was a dust storm and everything else that happened. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You didn't fling them. When you did fling them, it was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who flung them. So at that time, those small stones, one great sheikh said that those small pebbles, it became like missiles in the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now that same hand became like a depot for ammunition. That same hand. Then come to the battles. On how many occasions when the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in complained that there's no water. There's no water. We are thirsty. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, right, bring your utensils and gather whatever water you have got. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam places his hand into that water. Now that same hand, streams of water flowing from his fingers, fountains from his fingers. So for the thirsty now this became fountains. Everyone fills up his bags of water and utensils and everyone drinks. It was one of the best waters of the world that flowed from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's fingers. So that same palm. Again, Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the battles and he says, my eye socket, it has fallen off, the ball has fallen off. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes the eye in his hand and he puts it on his eye. He puts it back in its place and he just passes his hand over it and makes dua. Hazrat Qatada says, until my dying day, the shine and the brightness in that eye and my sight was better than even the other eye. Now that same hand became like a surgical instrument for the people who required sight. No hospitalization, no anesthetic, no surgery. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hand is doing everything. That same hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he passes it over the head of a young person and gives him dua. He grew old, but the hair never grew white. And the fragrance of that hand Mubarak remained on his head till his dying day. Now that same thing became a perfume shop. That same hand now became a perfume shop. We have to go and buy the ithars. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sweat. His perspiration was such a kind of ithar and perfume that Umme Sulaym used to gather it. She said, people used to come and take a little from there and add it to the best ithars of Madina Sharif because the fragrance of that was so much. Up till now, there are people who have got the genuine hair Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the genuine one. I'm not talking about the bogus one who take their own hair and sit down and make ziyarat and charge a fee also. And they apply a little bit of ithar on it so that you get some fragrance also. I'm talking about the genuine hair Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up till now, those who have got it. Because when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hair was shaved off in his hajj, then at that time he distributed his hair after his ihram. So many sahabas must have got a strand of that hair. And they didn't just throw it away. As Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala used to carry it in his turban and used to succeed in every battle. And in one battle, suddenly his turban fell off. So in the midst of the battle, Hazrat Khalid got off his horse. Now people saying, in this kind of situation, you're more worried about your turban than the battle here. Hazrat Khalid said, what do you know? Is that hair Mubarak which is in my turban, which has made me get off my horse. Look at the appreciation they had for that hair Mubarak. So up till now, there is that fragrance in that hair Mubarak, if it's a genuine one. Which angle can we take now? What do I do? There's so many things that are coming. Let us go back to Surah Wadduha. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I was saying that every part of his body is nothing but full of miracles. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now he's being assured that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not displeased with you. He has been giving you and He will continue to give you so much that you will become pleased. Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you an orphan child and we gave you shelter? Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying, after taking those qasams of the light and night and everything else, because there some of us have said that it is the qasam of the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the glorious light, it is the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala is taking qasam on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that shine, that light which is brighter than even the sun. And the night qasam is of his locks, the black, dark hair, pitch black hair that he had and his beautiful locks. Allah Ta'ala is taking qasam of that. And from there it is stated that the person who does not like the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he must have his heart checked up. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is taking qasam on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the person who says, I don't like to wear a beard, I don't like to keep a beard, I look odd in a beard, I look old in a beard, I look ugly in a beard. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. If only the face was going to look ugly with a beard, then it would not have been the sunnat of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala would not have taken a qasam. And when we are going to go into the grave, then we will be shown Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then He is going to look at us too. Now imagine if He has to look at us and see us in that shape and in that form of His enemies, then what would be our condition? So what did you find wrong in me? If He has to ask us, hold our garment and ask us, oh my ummati, what did you find wrong in me? What did you find wrong in my way of life? What did you find wrong in my face? If only my face was going to look ugly with a beard, Allah Ta'ala would not have given me a beard. He would not have made a beard. Of course, I repeat that we must not look down upon somebody who doesn't have a beard and start criticizing and mocking and ridiculing and think that we are holier than that person. That is a different issue altogether. We don't know what will be the condition of that person in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala is the best judge. But in this world, we have to decide by the Quran and Sunnah. So therefore, we should not say that people with beard are committing sins, so why should I keep a beard? People who haven't got beards are also committing sins. We should see what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say and what is he pleased with. So make himmat, take the courage and see what noor and beauty comes after that. We don't say let it grow so long that it touches the knees or keep it unkempt, that when the person has to go in the toilet or store, he's got to pull it one side. You're not saying that. That let it grow so long that he must pull it one side. Oil it, trim it after one fish length. What difficulty is there in that? Allah Ta'ala will bring that noor on that face. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will become happy and pleased. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after taking those qasams and after assuring him, now he says that, did we not find you an orphan? Were you not an orphan? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was born, he was an orphan. His father had passed away. His mother took him to Abwa, took him to Madina Sharif. On the return at Abwa, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was 6 years of age, 6 years of age, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I can still remember seeing the sakarat of my mother. He said that when my mother was about passing away, I can still picture her. And he says that I also remember walking on the side of the janaza when my mother was being laid to rest. And on the other side, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather, was waiting. He used to go up on the mountains and wait that Bibi Amina must bring Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam back safely. So after some time, when he saw Umme Ayman bringing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and coming, so he asked that, where is the mother? Where is Bibi Amina? So she broke down And she said that she has passed away. Hazrat Abdul Muttalib began to tear and cry. That was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's condition. At the age of 6, even the mother is gone. Born a yatim, mother is gone. Abdul Muttalib takes care of him. His grandfather, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is 8 years of age, he is gone. Abu Talib then takes care of him. After some time, he too also goes. In the 10th year. Now in this way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, was taking away all the outward assistance and help that a person normally looks forward to. We say there must be a father, there must be a mother, there must be this person and that person to take care. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was showing that I am the one that's going to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took care of him in such a way that he put the love of him into the hearts of all those people. How much of love he put into the hearts of those people. And so much of things were happening whilst Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still a child in his youth and everything, so that these people were loving him more and more. At that time there was no enmity because he was still Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He was the son of Abdullah, that's all they knew. So until then there was no enmity, no hatred, no dislike of any kind. They loved him tremendously. It was only after he said, I'm Muhammadur Rasulullah, that you must worship none but one Allah. These 360 idols that you have in the Kaaba Sharif, now you must not worship them, you must worship one Allah. So they said, now look at this person. And that same Abu Lahab, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born, in the happiness of the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he freed his slave woman. He freed her. And now, when he was told that you must worship one Allah, he said, Tabban laka li haza jamaatana, and he threw a stone at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And all the enmity started when he became Muhammadur Rasulullah. So most of the time we are always talking about Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Now nobody has got any problem with Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But when it comes to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is where we find ourselves in difficulty. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we found you an orphan child, we gave you shelter. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in what beautiful way Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up. We found you poverty stricken, you didn't have anything. We made you independent. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made Hazrat Khadija marry him, and she was a very rich woman, merchant. Now everything that she had, she gave it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which he sacrificed for the sake of deen. But Allah ta'ala gave him so much that he was able to sacrifice 100 camels for qurbani. Now can a poor person do that? So that poverty that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose, it was his choice. He chose a life of poverty. He wished to live amongst the poor and remain poor. But for the ummah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left the shariat. That if you are rich, then you pay your zakat, you give your sadaqat, you take care of the poor, the needy, the widows, you assist in the construction of masajid, madaris, and you spend in the causes of deen, and then you spend on yourself also, you spend for your own home, for your little bit of luxuries, it's not haram. But the thing is, for himself, he chose that way of life. But Allah Ta'ala says, we made you independent. Allah Ta'ala even offered, if you want, we can make the whole mountain of Uhud into gold and we'll make it, it'll walk with you wherever you go. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, I desire that one day I must eat and make shukr, and one day I don't have, I make sabr. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. We found you wanting in knowledge, so we gave you knowledge. There are different translations there, but because there's one incident that also took place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, while she was a little child walking, he went away on to top of a mountain. And now he didn't know how to return. So the same Abu Lahab was returning, or Abu Jahl. So they asked him to climb onto the camel. And they said, get away. How did you come away here? Right, come, I will take you. I'll take you home. Get onto the camel. So Abu Jahl made him sit behind him. No matter how much he's trying, the camel doesn't want to get up and move. He's beating the camel, he doesn't want to move. Then he heard a voice that, where you are putting this child behind you, put him in front of you. He was going to be the Nabi of all, and he was going to lead 124,000 Nabis in Masjid Al-Aqsa on the night of Mi'raj. And where you, Abu Jahl, putting him behind you, his place is in front of you. Then the camel started moving. So there Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, that did we not find you wandering, and we who gave you the way. All the knowledge of Qiyamah, the knowledge of Akhirah, the knowledge of Deen, the knowledge of the Quran, and all this knowledge, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to him. So the three favors Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows, and then, just in a nutshell, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, then what you should do, that, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Don't be harsh to any orphan child. And that orphan child can be the child of a very, very rich person. But he's in our home and he's an orphan child. So it doesn't mean that now we must treat that child harshly. And it can be a child of a very poor person. But once he has lost the father and he's still young, he's a small child, then there's so much of rights that that orphan child enjoys. And if any person has to abuse the property of the orphan, then it is like putting fire into his belly. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put him into Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. And the person who with shafqat and muhabbat passes his hand over the head of an orphan child, for every hair, every strand of hair, the person gets blessing. But there again, we have to be so careful in these days, so careful, so careful. Wallah, I'm telling you, because I deal with cases and they are shocking beyond belief. So many people, in the name of orphan child, what they are doing to that orphan child. They are saying that we are showing our love and expressing our love for this orphan girl, for this orphan boy. And in the meantime, it is their nafs, and it is leading them to so much of abuse of that orphan child, sexual abuse. Wallah, I'm telling you, uncles, brothers, nephews, so many different people are getting involved. So we have to be very careful. If we think that our nafs is involved in assisting this orphan child, why are we assisting that young girl who is an orphan? Why are we assisting that young boy who is an orphan? If our nafs is involved, if shaitan and nafs are dominant in our lives, then assist that child still, but assist him through somebody else. Send that parcel through somebody else. Send those clothes through somebody else. Send that assistance through somebody else. Don't invite that young girl and young boy into the room alone. Things are happening. We must not be sleeping and thinking that everybody is showing great affection and love for this young, pretty girl who is an orphan. They're petting her and pressing her against their bosoms. Must be so careful in these days. What can we do now? These things have to be said openly. If we are not going to say it, how are people going to restrain? And how are they going to open their eyes to reality? So much so that in these days it's not even recommended to hug your own daughters who are young, 16, 18. We'll say, how can the father now be restrained from doing that? But if a person reads newspapers and if he reads articles and if he knows what's happening around the world, and who doesn't know, then they know what I'm talking about. And especially those who are dealing with child abuse cases. At such a time, just shake hands with your daughters. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that, so now since you were an orphan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed you with this shelter. So you must not be harsh. And if a person is a beggar and he comes to you, then don't reprimand him and chase him away. If you don't have anything, then tell him nicely that try somewhere else. There are many who are professional beggars and they will never leave. And we know that sometimes their pockets are filled. If you have to go to the Haram Sharif, a person hasn't got a hand, all right, is accepted, he hasn't got one hand. But with the other hand, the amount of notes that he packs his pockets, packs and packs until the pockets begin to bulge, then he goes outside, empties it and comes back again. 10 riyal, 20 riyal, and some Arabs give hundreds of riyals because he hasn't got one hand. In the pockets bulge, he goes outside, come again. Now surely there's no sawab in giving such kind of beggars. So if we have some doubt, then it's a different, but like that, if you can't make out, you don't know whether it's genuine or is a bogus one, then give something. After that, if he doesn't go, that's his business. And finally, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The greatest ni'mat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the Qur'an Sharif. That's the greatest ni'mat. So now make bayan of it. We are told that we must teach now. And all other ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala likes to see the effect of that ni'mat on the person. If Allah ta'ala has given somebody knowledge, then he must pass on the knowledge. If he has given him wealth, he must pass on the wealth. If he has given him some other expertise, then he must try and pass on that expertise. There mustn't be for every step how much, how much, how much. Now we have become like the how much gang. In everything, no matter what, if the person is just giving two words of advice also, how much? He has to ask him. Because if he asks him, and if he did not ask him, then afterwards he'll find it in the bill. One person received some claim. He made some claim after the accident. But it was a small claim, wasn't a very big claim. 45 or 50,000 rand claim. And when he received the bill, he says, every time that I have to phone that attorney, he had the tape recorder on. If I just ask him, now when will that come through? So that was recorded. And he charged him for that too. He says, he charged me for that too. He says, one time I just spoke for about a couple minutes. He says, I see in that bill he's got the deduction of a couple hundred rand for that. And yet he was searching for the files while making me hold on. Like that one attorney with apology. All attorneys are not bad. Some are very good. He said, one client received his bill. So in the bill he saw 5,000 rand extra. So he said, what's this extra 5,000 rand for? He says, no, last night I dreamt of your case and I spent quite a bit of time. Quite a bit of time was spent. So we have to charge you for that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has told these three things. But from there we deduce, and I conclude on that, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was an orphan. Allah Ta'ala says, we found you shelter. Found you poor, we made you independent. And whatever ni'mat Allah Ta'ala gives, then you must make bayan of that. So from there we say that these are human rights. We talk about human rights, human rights. These are human rights. That every child is entitled to shelter. Every child. That's his right, that he must be given shelter. He must be given food. He must be given clothing. He must be taken care of. Because that child who is an orphan happened to be an orphan. But there is no guarantee that our children will not be an orphan. Or the any other person's child cannot be an orphan. But every child is a child who is entitled to the same privileges. The orphan child is entitled to a little more. But it means that we must give accommodation or shelter that is a right of the child. Now Shariat is giving it long, long, long before we heard of human rights. Then that child is entitled that we must give that child education. وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَذَا. That was the first thing. That we have to give that child education. That's the right of the child. And the education there is first the Islamic education. So that the child knows what is halal and haram, what is dunya and akhirat, what is sawab and what is azab, who is Allah, who is the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is jannat, jahannam, what are the things that he has to do in this world to please Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is prohibited, what is permitted. Now that is the most important knowledge that we have to give him. Together with that, we have to also give him some science or some skill or some other knowledge of arts and crafts and anything else, so that he can earn a living and he does not become dependent on people. That's his right. And then reasonably within limits, he must be allowed to display that ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on him. Now this is last part of it only. If I have to discuss, you will be sitting for another hour. So we leave it out there. And we make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Allah, if only the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into our hearts, we will find a difference in our lives. There will be such a difference in our lives. We have to build up that love. It won't just come like that. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا راحم المساكين، يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك نستغيث. Oh my beloved Allah, Oh my Rahim Allah, Oh my Kareem Allah, Oh my most forgiving Allah, Oh my most compassionate Allah, Oh my most loving, caring Allah, Oh my most beautiful Allah, Oh my most tolerant Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of sins. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming to this world was a great ni'mat, a great bounty, a great favor that you showed to mankind. Ya Allah, you yourself have declared in the Quran Sharif, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. A great ni'mat, a great ihsan, a great favor that you showed to the mu'mineen, that you sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst them. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the himmat and the courage and the strength to follow the lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, how much of hardship, how much of suffering, how much of torture, how much of persecution, how much of grief and sorrow he suffered, so that Islam and Iman may reach us. Ya Allah, today we are taking the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are taking your Mubarak name. Ya Allah, we are believers in you. We are believers in the Akhirat. We are believers in Jannat and Jahannam. We are believers in life after death. We are believers in your books, in your angels. Ya Allah, solely because of the sacrifices that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for Islam and Iman to reach us. Oh my beloved Allah, he was your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much of love you had for him. Oh my Allah, yet how much of suffering he underwent for the sake of the Ummah. We have shown no appreciation for those sacrifices. Oh my Allah, tonight is a Thursday night. It is the eve of Jumu'ah. And on the eve of Jumu'ah, oh my Allah, the actions of the Ummatis are unfolded before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, he has shown that these are the actions that the Ummati indulged in over the week. My beloved Allah, when he has to see in there that the Ummati is indulged in fornication, in adultery, in stealing, in watching the filth on the television screen, in looking at all the porn sites on the internet, indulging in taking of drugs, in drinking of wine, and in all other kinds of haram. Oh my beloved Allah, how much of pain and suffering he must be going through. He who was made to suffer by the kuffar, by the mushrikeen, by the yahood and the nasara. My Allah, our actions, our deeds are causing him suffering and pain even today. Ya Allah, change the condition of our lives. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, you could have seized us the moment we committed sins. You could have destroyed us the moment we committed sins. You could have ordered the earth to open up and swallow each and every one of us. You could have sent the gale force winds against us. You could have sent the flood waters against us and destroyed us. You could have had caught us in tsunamis, my beloved Allah. But how loving you are, how caring you are, how forgiving you are, how tolerant you are, that in spite of all our sins, you are giving us so much to eat, so much to drink, so much to wear. My beloved Allah, do not seize us on account of our sins. Change the condition of our hearts. Change the condition of our hearts. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara. So many of the sahaba ikram were from amongst them. But when they accepted Islam upon the hands of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, they became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. You pleased with them, they pleased with you. Ya Allah, if you could have changed their lives so drastically, what is it difficult for you to change the condition of our hearts? Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal, khudaya fazl farma dil badal.
Oh Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, you have given man the technology to transplant hearts. Ya Allah, our hearts have become so diseased spiritually that what we need is a transplant. Ya Allah, transplant a spiritually sound heart into our bodies. Ya Allah, hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Gunehgari mein kab tak umr kaatun? Gunehgari mein kab tak umr kaatun? Badal de mera rasta dil badal de. Ya Allah, how long will I live a life of sin on this earth? How long, my Allah, will I walk on the surface of the earth like a hypocrite and a munafiq? Oh my Allah, how long will I indulge in vices and evils? How long in fornication, in adultery, in watching filth? How long, my beloved Allah, in fraud and in taking drugs and in wine and women? Ya Allah, death is sure to come. It's going to come, and we don't know when the angel of death is going to strike. Ya Allah, so many people, young, fit, healthy, they are dying in so many wrong places. So many died in cinemas. So many died in discos. So many died while popping drugs in their mouths. So many while committing adultery. My beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. What an embarrassment and shame and humiliation for ourselves, for our families, and for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And especially on the day of Qiyamah, if my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to see a person from his ummah rising in the state of adultery, because in whatever state the person is going to die, he is going to rise. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to see that ummati rising, and the billions of other ummatis will have to see that person rising, how much of embarrassment and shame it is going to cause to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, we take his name, and we sing his praises, and we celebrate his birth. But oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to follow him, to make it tabah of him. Give us the himmat and courage of lions against our nafs. My beloved Allah, make us like lions against our nafs. Vere Allah, make us like lions against our nafs. Oh my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of sins. Those who turn toward you with repentance, you dearly love them, my Allah. My beloved Allah.